Yeah, I mean, there were poachers and farmers and countrymen that knew the land. They were real sons of the soil. They lived in the area that they lived all their lives. Their families had probably lived there for generations, and they wanted to defend their little bit of England.
Social history describes that. The LDV was formed in the summer of 1940. Thousands volunteered to join it. Bill Smith went into his shed, took a chair leg, put a piece of steel down through it, lead weight on the end, carved LDV on the end, and said, let the Germans come, we'll do it. And that was the attitude of the people. Let the Germans come, we're ready. Now, I was in the Home Guard. I was 5'11", 14 stone, carried it on my shoulders, not round here, and had wavy hair.
Well, actually, my father's had a connection with the auxiliary services. He was in special duties during the war. He was one of a cabal of three vicars, as they called it, in South Wales, which collecting information for the government. And that's received quite a bit of publicity, so we felt we'd like to come to Coles Hill to learn a bit more. I'm not sure whether he actually came for training. It was all so secret. I didn't find out about it until 7 years after he died.
And today we are faced with Afghanistan and Iraq, where people maybe with a similar thinking as those people then are fighting against the same people who actually taught up these ideas.
In the summer of 1940, the most powerful army in the world is 21 miles away across the Channel. The British Army has virtually ceased to exist as an army because they've left all the kit behind in France. They knew that a lot of people had come back from Dunkirk. What they didn't realise was that all the equipment had been left behind over there. And what had come back from France was effectively an underarmed, ill-equipped, disorganised group of people who were going to have to take a long time to reorganise. And if the enemy had come at that time, in June or July 1940, they would have probably been able to have almost walked into the country.
I'm Lisa Dibble and I'm the Community Learning Officer at Buskirk and Coles Hill Estates. Coles Hill is one of the villages of the National Trust estate. Most of the village lies within a conservation area. It's largely a Victorian village and it's got a lot of history. The house itself, there's a lot of history about the house, which was famously built in the 17th century along the Palladian style, and a lot of history about how it tragically burnt down in the 1950s prior to the National Trust acquiring the estate. And of course, in between that, during the war, it was requisitioned and used to train the auxiliaries. Today, we've got a very special event to celebrate the 70th anniversary of the setting up and the training of the auxiliaries. Coles Hill House was the general headquarters of the auxiliaries, so this was where everybody came to train, to learn the techniques, to learn how to behave, what to do, how to kill, how to maim, how to sabotage, and also how to remain top secret, because everybody who came would have signed the Official Secrets Act. So we're expecting people who maybe have got a specific interest in World War II histories. We have a couple of people who actually came here during the war and trained here, which is really exciting. Right, well, we've set up the event. Part of it is set up in the old model farm, and we have in the first courtyard, we have a kind of a street party where all the catering is happening, and that's around centred around our community shop. In the next courtyard, we've got what we call the auxiliary hub, which is where you want to go if you want to find out all the history. And at the top end of the village, in the gardens in front of Coles Hill House, which is no longer here, we call it the Clockhouse Gardens now, we have a lot of reenactors who are going to be doing various things. They're probably going to be blowing up a few things, not really, but pretending to, getting kids to do, to go in patrols and things like this and marching. And we've got volunteers based at the historic sites, so places like the guardhouse, places like the stable yard and the operational base itself. We've got volunteers who are briefed, who will be informing the general public of what's happening. And then on top of that, dotted all around the village, wherever we've managed to fit them, we've got military vehicles who were also staffed by people in period costume, and also the Austin Sevens, which were used during the time.
1933 Austin Seven, this is, and we've adapted it to make it look like warlike by putting the white line around the outside and also shades over our headlights. Actually, my father had a connection with the auxiliary services. He was in special duties during the war, and that's received quite a bit of publicity, so we felt we'd like to come to Coles Hill to learn a bit more. I'm not sure whether he actually came for training. It was all so secret, I didn't find out about it until 7 years after he died. There was a farm worker who was in the same group of people in special duties. Before he died, he started talking, and that's how it got in the press. And then he mentioned people like my father's name who were involved. I think we all are sort of much more interested in family history and what happened in the past now, aren't we? And I think it all ties in with that. That's why part of my interest, really, because I'd done what I thought was all the family history of my family, and then this turns out. So I call it my father's secret past.
I mean, it's becoming history now, isn't it? And we're sort of just about a little bit part of that history.
I work for BMW. I work for the enemy. I bought a car, a Jeep up. And we've just been showing people around the vehicles and having a wander around. I'm in British Airborne, half British Airborne kit, 2nd Battalion Oxen Bucks. I bought the vehicle and then I sort of got into the history of the things. This is the Jeep is something I've always wanted. When I finally could afford one, I bought one and then met all these other nutters. So that's basically what I got us in. But I just think it was a strange period in time. You know, the whole world was just thrown into chaos. And it's the way that sort of humanity sort of got out of it.
Churchill is now premier, the most powerful army in the world on the other side of the channel, 21 miles away. If the Germans come, what is going to stop them? There's a very thin coastal crust of fortifications, but that's all. If they get through that coastal crust, then there's nothing to stop them driving straight through to London. And so we actually have the formation, the formalisation of the auxiliary units who are tasked with staying behind to disappear underground. Literally, to emerge from behind enemy lines to cause as much murder and mayhem as they possibly can, to commit acts of sabotage, to blow up bridges, to blow up railway lines, to be able to assassinate senior officers, to sabotage airfields, to attack airfields, to attack country houses which are likely to be selected as potential headquarters by invading German units. All of these are the kind of things that the auxiliary units are tasked with. Now, what is not known is how vicious the German army will become when faced with that kind of threat. The units that were closest to hand were the units in Kent and Sussex, all along the Kent-Sussex coastline, right the way through into Hampshire, and then on the other side of the Thames estuary, the units in Essex. These people have been touched on the shoulder and asked, would you do something for your country?
Now, I was in the Home Guard. I was 5'11", 14 stone, carried it on my shoulders, not round here, and had wavy hair. I was on duty one night, and a friend who was also in the Home Guard with me said, chap stopped me in the street and said, would I like to join something more interesting than the Home Guard? Well, at 17 and a half, yes, you would. So we went to this chap's house a week later. He turned out eventually to be the sergeant of the patrol, and he thoroughly quizzed us as to how long we'd lived in the area, did we know the fields, could we live off the land, could we catch a rabbit, what did our parents do, etc., etc. And then he said, all right, come back in a week and I'll tell you. We said, all right. So we went back in a week and he said, yeah, you can join my lot. So I said, what's your lot? Oh, he said, sign this and you can join. So I signed it and I said, what's that? He said, that's the Official Secrets Act. I can now tell you, you're in the auxiliary units. You're a stay behind group. We're going to go underground, come up on the surface and interfere with the German supply lines. Oh, thank you very much. It all sounded very interesting. Now, in about...
Boy Scouts and the League of Frontiersmen become very fertile recruiting grounds for auxiliaries. The kind of people that are good Boy Scouts and Ranger Scouts and people like this have got all kinds of skills like living off the country and being able to survive.